You dreamt of a sound. Something like a phone buzzing against a hard surface. You dreamt of movement, as though Celine was touching your hand. Then you heard rustling beside you, and soft, careful, fading footsteps. Your mind followed those footsteps into the trees outside, heard them traversing through the branches and leaves and gravel on the forest floor. You dreamt of another voice, a man's voice, talking to Celine, and a car door opening and closing. It was a disquieting, unsettling dream that made you feel as if your spirit had somehow separated from your body. When at last you were able to open your eyes, you were shocked to find shafts of sunlight pouring into the tiny chapel through the partially collapsed roof. Celine was gone. Like the first night you'd spent with her, you laid still, hoping she was just outside and would soon return. Finally, you sat up, bracing yourself against the stone pillar as your back was stiffened from having slept on the stone floor. Beside you, there was a metallic clink, and you realized something had just fallen away from your palm. You looked down and saw the gold ring with its distinctive red stone. That was when you knew that Celine wasn't coming back. You'd found your way out of the forest and back to your car fairly easily in the daylight. The whole way, you kept checking your phone, hoping to see a message from her explaining what had happened. You weren't even sure if she had your number, but you still glanced at your screen every few minutes. Rationally, you knew she had probably left for fear of getting you too involved in her affairs again. Why else would she have given you back the ring? She'd gotten what she needed from it now, so she'd obviously left it with you, hoping you'd finally sell it and forget about her. But emotionally, you were just as angry with her as you had been the first time she'd left in the middle of the night. Didn't she understand? You didn't care about the danger. Didn't she realize how devoted to her you'd become? You wished desperately you'd said something the night before about how you were feeling. Perhaps then she wouldn't have felt the need to handle whatever this was on her own. With every passing day, your heart grew heavier. Everywhere you went, you thought you saw her face or heard her voice. You got to the point where you were unable to eat or to sleep. Pulling yourself together and re-entering your daily life felt like an impossible hill to climb. Then, one day, you came home to find an envelope on your kitchen table that certainly had not been there when you'd left. It was formal stationery, the kind one normally sees used for wedding announcements, with a thick golden border along the edge. There was no address on it, only your name printed in stylized letters across the front. Thinking it had to be from Celine, you opened it immediately, nearly tearing off the top of it in your haste to see what was inside. You had expected to see something like the handwritten note she'd left you the first night you'd spent with her. But instead, the message inside looked to be a formal invite to a dinner party. Perplexed, you stared at the thing for several minutes, reading it over and over again. Finally, you realized something about the address on the bottom of the page. It was the very same house you'd entered with Celine in order to retrieve the lens. Though your gut told you it would be a foolish move to obey the invite, the thought of seeing Celine again was too great a temptation to resist. You turned up at the gate of the imposing manor on the appointed day, at the appointed time, unsure of what was in store for you. The gate swung open before you'd even reached it, as though someone had seen you approaching from the street. You continued up towards the front door, which also swung open ominously. Just inside stood a stoic man in a black suit, looking somewhere between a butler and a security guard. He didn't speak, but motioned you inside with a white-gloved hand. The manor looked different or lit up, less frightening and more garish, with the sparkle of crystal chandeliers touching a variety of gaudily gilded surfaces. The silent man ushered you straight ahead, past the wooden staircase, leading you along a wide corridor, which was hung with priceless-looking portraits of old European aristocrats. Finally, he opened a set of double doors and gestured for you to enter on your own. Your heart leapt in your chest as you entered the room. There was Celine, seated awkwardly at the end of an enormous banquet table. She was looking straight at you, with the glint of tears in her eyes. As you made a move towards her, you realized you weren't alone.
There he is, the guest of honor. Welcome to my humble abode. Or should I say, welcome back.
A man moved towards you from the other end of the room and extended a hand, smiling broadly like he was genuinely happy to see you. You couldn't help but notice the patch he wore over his left eye, which looked to be a solid, curved plate of gold, affixed to his head with a black leather strap.
I'm Felix. It's a pleasure to meet you. And of course, you already know my lovely cousin Celine.
Your eyes automatically went to hers. She looked down at the table, unable to meet your questioning gaze.
She really wanted to keep you a secret from me for some reason. At first, I thought that she'd just been up to her usual tricks. But then one of my informants said that he'd heard two people in my house while I was gone a few weekends ago. The same weekend, my security system mysteriously went down for a brief period of time, and something very important to me went missing. And then another one of my informants told me that he had seen a lone man leaving the same part of the forest we'd tracked my darling cousin to. Lucky for me, he got a clear picture of your license plate as you drove away. It took us a little while to track it and find your address, but my people are very good. Very good.
Felix, please, don't do this.
Don't do what? We're just here to have a friendly get-together. Talk about some things, get to know each other. Everything's fine.
You realize the reason for Celine's awkward posture was that her hands were being somehow restrained behind the back of the chair she was sat in. You also realized that she was dressed in a somewhat formal blue evening gown, which kept her legs tight together beneath the table, her red rose petal pendant sparkling predominantly just below her clavicle. Felix, too, was dressed formally in a dark blue suit, as though to match her. A silk handkerchief embroidered with roses neatly peeking out of his breast pocket. The banquet table before you seemed to have actually been set for a dinner party, with several wine glasses waiting to be filled, several golden plates loaded with fruits, cheese, and meats, and three large candelabras at the center, surrounded by arrangements of roses. The thought of this man going to the trouble of staging such a grotesque scene turned your stomach.
I've told you, he doesn't know anything. Do you really think I'd involve an outsider?
I do, yes. You do all kinds of things you know you shouldn't do. That's why no one trusts you anymore, Celine.
Please, Felix, just let him go. You're making things more complicated than they
Enough!
Like I said, we're just going to have a little talk, all three of us. If I'm satisfied at the end of our chat, we'll send him on his merry way, unharmed. I'm sorry about all of this, friend. My cousin has always been a little difficult to deal with. It's funny, actually. We were very close growing up, practically siblings. We were even born only one day apart. I used to follow her around like a little puppy dog, always wanting to be a part of whatever she was up to. Then one day, she wanted to play hide and seek. We went to the west wing of the house. It was under renovations at the time. We didn't want to be found by the adults. I thought it was a bad idea, you know? All those unfinished surfaces and tools and things, it seemed dangerous to me. But she promised it would be fun. So I covered my eyes and I started counting while she was supposed to be hiding. But do you know what she did?
Felix, please.
Can I finish my story, please? I am trying to bond with my new friend. While I was counting down, she turned out all of the lights. It was pitch black in that room, and I couldn't see my hands in front of my face. I'd only taken a few steps before I tripped over something, and I fell face first into the ground. Do you know what kind of things are usually all over the ground in a room in the middle of a renovation? Nails. Lots and lots of nails.
He pointed at his eye patch, smiling maniacally at you.
And do you know what she did? As I laid there, screaming in pain, blood all over my hands and my face. She ran. She ran away.
I ran to get help.
You left me alone. A screaming child in the darkness. Don't pretend you weren't just trying to save your own skin. That was when our family realized Celine could never be trusted. She didn't have her priorities in the right place. She was always putting herself above the rest of the family. And she has once again proven that to be true by involving you in a very private affair. Now, I want to know about the ring.
Unconsciously, your gaze flicked to Celine for guidance. She shook her head just subtly enough for you to get the idea. You told Felix you had no idea what he was talking about.
Come on now. We're friends, aren't we? You know about the ring. I don't know how much you know, but you know something at the very least. Both of you can deny it all you want, but there is no other reason she would have had to sneak in to take my lens if she hadn't found the ring. And I suspect the timing has something to do with you.
Felix, you have to listen to me. I took the lens because I wanted to experiment with it. I told you this. I thought I'd found a way to bypass needing the ring so that we could finally continue the hunt. That's all. I didn't even realize you were gone until I got to the house. I just decided to take it in the meantime. I'm impulsive. You know that about me. I intended to return it before you got back. This is all a big misunderstanding. I realize now. I should have just asked for your permission. Felix, please. Don't punish an innocent person for my stupidity. Just let him leave before you let too much slip. You and I will deal with this together, okay?
Felix walked to the banquet table, grabbing a handful of grapes from a small charcuterie board. He popped a few, one by one, into his mouth, smiling sinisterly at Celine as he did so. He addressed you over his shoulder as he slowly approached her, his gaze never wavering. She in turn stared straight back at him in total defiance.
She's good, isn't she? So sincere, so convincing. What did she tell you? That if you helped her, she'd share the money with you? That you'd disappear together into the sunset? I hope you didn't believe her, because every word out of her mouth is a lie. That's all she knows how to do. Isn't it, Celine?
Felix put his hand under Celine's chin and glowered directly into her eyes. Instinctively, you took a step towards them, but Felix held up his other hand.
Don't worry, friend. I'm not going to hurt her. I can never do that to family.
He dropped his hand and walked around the seated Celine, moving towards the French windows behind the table. He then made a show of peeking through the sheer curtains, his back to both of you.
I feel sorry for you, friend. I really do. I'm sorry that you believed her lies. Believe me. I know how manipulative she can be. But she is not capable of thinking about anyone other than herself. Lie and run, that's all she knows. It's a shame, really, that it had to be this way. You and I could have made such good partners, Celine. Running the family's affairs and continuing the hunt together like we were meant to. If only you had put that natural cunning of yours to good use, instead of using it for your own personal gain.
Celine caught your eye. She jerked her head in an odd way, and it took you a moment to realize she was trying to indicate one of the gigantic golden candelabras on the table. Another moment, and you fully understood what she wanted you to do. As Felix carried on speaking with his back to the room, you slowly crept to the table and took a hold of the candelabra closest to you, careful to keep your movements hidden in the wide blind spot afforded to you by his left side.
Now!
What?
You landed the blow on the back of Felix's neck before he'd even realized how close you were to him. His body dropped to the ground immediately, bloodless, but clearly unconscious.
His pocket, get the key to the handcuffs!
You turned Felix over onto his back and pulled at his neat pocket square. As you did, a small iron key popped into your hand. You raced over to Celine and quickly unlocked the cuffs that were keeping her hands behind her back. Once freed, she reached down and tore a long slit into the skirt of the dress she wore so that her legs could move more freely. Then she stood up and wrapped her arms around your neck.
Oh, my fucking hero. Come on, don't worry about him. His goons hate him as much as I do. Asshole will probably bounce their last paycheck. It'll be a minute before they realize anything's amiss and come after us.
She led you through a door opposite from the one you'd come in, then through several winding corridors, and finally out into a sprawling back garden. It was raining now, causing the stiletto pumps Celine wore to sink into the muddy ground, so she kicked them off in order to move more quickly. She pointed towards a small gate at the back of the property, which she slipped through, you following right behind her. Just as she had the last time you'd been at the manor, she led you through a winding maze of streets until you once again arrived at the awning-covered alcove that led to her basement apartment. You allowed her to take your hand and lead you through the door. You stood just barely inside for a moment, watching as she angrily fought her way out of the torn and soaking wet evening gown. She tossed it to the ground, now only clad in a black bra and panties, and kicked at it angrily with her bare feet.
Fuck you, Felix, you sick bastard! I'm sorry you had to go through all of that. Felix has a twisted sense of humor, like most of my family.
She looked at you imploringly, her wet hair plastered to the sides of her face. You knew she was about to apologize once again for involving you, to beg your forgiveness. And you already knew you'd forgiven her. Before she could utter a word, your lips were on hers. She returned your embrace enthusiastically, but instead of pulling you towards the bed as you'd expected, she dropped to her knees in front of you.
Just stay there. Let me take care of you. Explain how much I've missed you. No, not just your cock. I was finding it hard not to think about your body every night. The way my skin lights up when you touch me. How when you press yourself against me, it always stops my breath in my chest. Understand that I didn't leave you in the chapel willingly. But this isn't the time for that story. Right now, all I want is to give you pleasure. Frightened as I was back at the house that you might get hurt, I have to admit, I was getting a little turned on watching how you handled yourself in there. You were so calm. Oh, so brave. You never panicked once. It was amazing to watch. Seeing you like that. So sure of yourself. I couldn't help thinking of all the things I wanted to do to you once we got away. Plenty of time to do each and every one of those things. You getting close, baby? Yeah? I want to taste you. I want you to come in my mouth, okay? I've never let a man come in my mouth before. But I think you've more than earned it. He sunk to the ground beside her and kissed her over and over again before she finally pushed you back, laughing. I can't believe after all I've put you through that you still want me. What have I done to deserve you? You can't go back to your place now that Felix knows where you live. I'm so sorry. But don't worry. He doesn't know I have this apartment. We just need to lay low for a little while. When he comes to,
He's gonna go into panic mode looking for us. Once I've got indications he's safely on the wrong track, we'll be able to finish what we started at the chapel. There's something there we need to find. And once we do, the world will be our oyster.